This is the first Deacon and Dad of the year.
Yeah, it's 2017.
Post-election.
And I don't want to be... We're very positive people, and I don't want to be a downer about everything, but one has to acknowledge that a couple of things that have happened that are just distressing.
Or how about just the overall bullshit that's been going on? Because we haven't talked since all this has happened.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay, but we'll get to that. But I just want to have a last drink and salute to Hoja Santa, which is the bar and restaurant where we have been recording all of our podcasts. Unfortunately, they're closing down at the end of the month, which is very sad because they're good friends and the food's good and the camaraderie is terrific and we're really going to miss them. So this is just a shout out. Just shout out to Hoja Santa. Now to... I actually have to... You know me, I'm old school and I still have a respect for the office of the president. I'm going to have to call him President Agent Orange. Okay, I'm not going to be disrespectful to the office. I'm just going to be disrespectful to him. The thing that got me is the little petty lies. Now, you know that my favorite scary person in the entire world right now is Kellyanne Conway.
Uh-huh.
Okay, she's the chief strategist for Trump. But she's been his she was his campaign manager.
His chief liar.
Chief liar. She is so good at it.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Scary how good it is. So, of course, today she's on Meet the Press,
mm-hmm.
when we're taping this. And the spokesperson, the new press secretary, comes out and essentially says that the crowd for the Trump and I were the biggest ever, and it's never been bigger.
That was lie number one.
So Chuck Todd on NBC asked Kellyanne Conway, he says, that's the first thing he did is comes out, he lies. He said, that wasn't true. And she says, well, no, you can't say it's like, he's just offered alternative facts.
Wow. Wow, now that's just ridiculous.
Well, I know, but in some ways it's like, okay. And then you show pictures.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
Is that where I lie?
I'm just amazed. Yeah, but they keep saying this stuff. And clearly some of the supporters are going to believe this because, first of all, he's been saying for months and months and months of how the press lies. They're terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't believe a thing they say. And then when some reporter says, but that's not true. Well, it's just a lying press. I don't know how we combat that other than to keep saying that's not true.
Here's
the fact-based evidence.
But they don't care, they're never going to care. One of the correspondents on CNN this morning, and I just happened to catch it because I'm not watching the news because I'm just tired of hearing this man's name. And he said, yeah, the press secretary came out and said five lies in 5 minutes.
Yeah. And wouldn't take questions.
No, it didn't take questions. Of course not.
The press secretary who's supposed to be dealing with the president, he won't answer any questions. And came out, yelled at him, and walked away. I find that sort of bizarre.
I was talking to the Duchess yesterday, and she said, he's running this, he thinks he's running a company. You know, you can control the story if it's a private company.
Well, you can.
But this is the government.
Okay.
You can't tell the Parks Department they can't tweet. Yeah. You can tell your media department from a company, hey, y'all need to stop that shit.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can't tell a public department that.
Well, he thinks he can.
That was her point. He thinks he's still running a company. No.
For those of you who have heard her before, this is Sonia Donaldson, professor. Sonia Donaldson.
How you doing, Sonia?
Good. How are you?
Good to see you.
You too.
It's good to see you.
Welcome
back to the
land of
the
living.
World. Yeah. And so we're just trying to deal with this alternate facts that keeps coming up in our And I,
as I refer to it, it's just a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's what we have to just keep calling it, a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, why are we even engaging the language that they're engaging to talk mm-hmm. about it? Right. It's a lie.
And he's not going to, I was at this party last night, and we were talking to some folks. I described this as being in an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, he's going to change.
Yeah.
He's going to change. As soon as he gets in office, he's going to, No, he's not.
I don't know why anybody ever believed that. It's just like, the guy has not changed his entire life. Mm-hmm. This is his behavior. And why people think, well, he's going to pivot. No, he's not going to pivot.
No. Why would he?
Yeah.
He got elected acting like this.
Yeah. He's run his businesses acting like this. And so now he's going to try to run the government. I still have some...
Or is the Republican government running him?
Well... I think that's what it. That's
until
what
they get their agenda accomplished.
But if they,
he's going to give them enough because yeah. I don't believe he's really interested in power over people. He's just he wants everything for himself.
Yeah, me.
Yeah,
me.
That's all it is.
You just say it's about me.
Yeah,
and I'm the greatest, and I did the biggest and the most huge, and and they said, but that's not true. No. I said it. Therefore, it is true.
What's your take on it?
I try not to think about him too much. But, I think he's close. He is, I think sometimes, and rightly so, we focus a lot of attention on the president as, like, the seat of power. But I think we also need to kind of broaden our vision a little bit. So, like, we keep focusing so much on the tweets and, like, the crazy things that he's saying that we're not paying attention to what folks are actually doing in terms of our government. Like, we're about to not have health care for a good number of Americans. And a lot of health care, as we know it, is going to go away for many of us who are gainfully employed and make a good living. Housing, right? Like I was always wondering, like, when he decided Ben Carson would be good for HUD, why they kept focusing on urban.
Right.
Because housing is the first word in it. So when I heard Ben Carson, I heard, uh-oh, my mortgage, right? Like,
I'm thinking. Well, I did watch as many of the hearings as I could, but because they were so stacked on top of each other, they were running simultaneously, they were pushing them through. So I had to sort of like watch one live and then go back and watch the C-SPAN repeat.
Yeah.
And I know it's not good. It wasn't good for my mental health. But I watched every hour of Betsy DeVos. And I came out going, scratching my head, saying, here's a woman who none of her kids have ever been to public school. She never went to public school. Her family has spent hundreds of millions of dollars on vouchers and on anti-gay legislation and giving money to groups that think that you can cure the gay. And then you ask her direct questions and she doesn't know any, she doesn't have any answers. So she knows nothing about education. They asked her about the Disabilities Act, and she goes, well, I have to study that. And one of the senators said, excuse me, my son has cerebral palsy, and he can't talk, he can't use his fingers, but because of this act, he went to the same high school his sister went to, and he graduated from high school because his brain's fine. So what are you going to do when the law, she said, well, I think this... it's up to the states. Said, but this is a federal law.
I saw that.
Well, I think we should leave it out. And then it's like, do you believe in accountability for both charter schools and all that? So I believe in accountability. Well, should they adhere to the same standards? I believe in accountability. Well, yeah, but do you believe that all of them should adhere to the same standards? I believe in accountability. This is the person who is going to be in charge of teaching our kids.
so setting what, education policy for our kids. Yeah.
So the question is, what do we do about all this?
Well, I think it was pretty clear yesterday with with those millions of people who are all over the world marching against this stuff. I have a minor little petty beef about that, but that's okay. They were out in the street. I just wanted to know where the hell were these people before he got elected.
Cha-ching.
You know, that's my beef. It's like, oh, now y'all see how serious this is. So
kind of like Brexit.
Yeah.
The day after, everyone was like, yeah. Wait, what did we just do?
Yeah.
But plus, because, you know, yeah. That's just how Americans roll.
Yeah. I just was scratching my head, saying, I'm glad they were all out in the street, and I saw some really good speeches, and people getting all fired up, and my thing is like, okay, now are you going to go back home?
Okay, but now what? Had protests around the world, which was great, but now what?
Show up in numbers at the local level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Show up in numbers at the local level, the same way you corral folks. You show up at your senator's office or your congressperson's office, your representative's office, in numbers.
And take the...
Yeah.
Take the advice of the president. So I will continue to call. I mean, legally, can be called the president, but Obama. Saying, you know, lace up your shoes, get a clipboard, and run for office. You know, stop complaining and go do something.
So, what were some of the tactics used in the '60s?
It's the same stuff that's going on now. Getting out in the street and marching, but. The difference this time, and people aren't outraged. You know, with Bull Connor, sick dogs on people, fire hose kids, when they beat up everybody on the William Pettus Bridge, and you saw people getting hurt, and the rest of the country did not understand that this is normal in the South. And they got
outraged.
Isn't
it still the same now?
I don't think people, now
we're getting everything on video.
I know, and
all
that's
these
just
murders.
But it does not seem to have had any impact. Okay? So you see somebody getting shot in the back, and it's a hung jury. The cop doesn't get.
So basically, nothing's changed. The only difference is we're just seeing it on video.
Well, no. I think they're seeing it on video, but it doesn't matter this time. When they saw it on video, they saw it on television before, people got outraged. White people got outraged. Let me just be clear about it. White people got outraged.
Okay.
Now they're seeing exactly the same thing, and they're not getting outraged. Now you're shaking your head about it.
You know, I teach, and so I see things about this generation that... So I think in general, and particularly in an older generation, there is a lot, I don't think we can underestimate the level of anti-blackness and racism that exists in the U.S. And that it's particularly anti-black racism, right? And so I think that's one thing that we have to consider is that it really is strong. Like anti-blackness really is strong. It's at the core of a lot of how folks voted and what they believe, right? And what they think about black lives and whether or not they matter, right? And that's part of the reason why you didn't see folks coming out, you know, when black people get killed by police, because they don't fundamentally believe that black lives are valuable. And that's a really difficult thing for a lot of people, I think, to like accept, right? That you live in a country where fundamentally your life does not matter, and in fact that there are people and a large number of people who believe you deserve your death, right? Like you are always complicit in the harm that comes to you. That's foundational. That's what people believe. And I think that a lot of young folks that I teach have grown up absent of the kind of history that we're talking about. So if we look at what public education looks like, right, where the textbooks are coming from, what they engage, there is a huge gap of historical knowledge that just isn't being taught to students in our school. So what they're given instead is a sort of like universal language, right? You know, we're all X, we're all Y, we're all valuable human beings, we're all good people. Without the kind of knowledge of American history, culture, law, that my generation and other folks got, whether it was institutionally, even in small amounts, or supplementally at home or in community spaces. So there are a lot of students who just haven't had access to those things. And what they see instead are sort of like symbols of like Black struggle. Right? So I did this exercise with my students one day because we were talking about Black struggle, and I got really tired of them. We were looking at a story, and they kept talking about Black struggle. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's no struggle. They're talking about love, right, in this. But that's how Blackness is framed in the U.S., right?
As like that Black people, struggle.
Right, like we're always struggling, the struggle for this, the struggle for that. So I said to them, look, I can tell you what you learned about Black people in your foundational education. They looked at me like, no. I said, yeah, Black people came here as slaves. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Before that, you had Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass, right? Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, civil rights, and Martin Luther King, and they shot Martin Luther King. Actually, you don't even get, he died. They didn't shoot him, he died, right? And I Have a Dream. And in, you know, in between that, you got a little bit of Langston Hughes, you got some Maya Angelou. Maybe, if you were lucky, some of you got a little bit of Gwendolyn Brooks, maybe. And then we move forward to like a little bit of Toni Morrison in your senior year. And that's your foundational education of Blackness in the U.S. And they were just sitting there with their mouths open, like, how do you know this?
Because it's institutional.
Yes, right.
I guess that was... Yeah, that was more accurate. Not that there's no sacrifice, but they haven't had to. There hasn't been that struggle because they're one generation away from the civil rights movement. And then they have Obama as president.
Right.
So seemingly everything's chill.
Yes, exactly.
Not totally cool, but just chill. Everything, the waters are calm.
Right.
There's still that undercurrent clearly that has risen up.
Right. Exactly.
So now they see this is real America.
I must say, you know, I tend to be very low-key, but I actually lost my temper a week ago.
Mm-mm. You don't say.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that this young Black woman was, like, essentially saying, telling me things that are contrary to my lived experience. Okay. I mean, I had to do one of those old man jokes. It's like, child, I got T-shirts older than you. No, but she kept talking. She kept telling me, no, you're wrong, and this is what really happened, and I looked it up on Google, and I'm like, but you didn't put it into any context. And then I finally said, why am I arguing with this child? She's not hearing me. She's talking at me, and I'm trying to talk to her. And I kept saying, okay, you're right, and like, trying to ignore her. She kept talking. And I finally blew up and said, shut up. And she got so offended because she said I disrespected her. And I'm thinking, you just spent the last 20 minutes disrespecting my experience, my live experience, what I've gone through in this life, and you're telling me, no, you're wrong. And then she gets mad because I told her, I kept saying, I told her to shut up. And I don't do that very often.
She must have got you high.
She got, it just was like, you know, I can understand if you have a difference of opinion and you can bring some facts to the table. Or you can bring some nuance to the table. But she essentially kept telling me, no, you're wrong. That's not how that happened.
All right, so then
and I'm saying, I was there.
Right, so there's the trick question. So how do you combat the lies from people who don't care about the fact that they're telling lies? They just don't care. How do you combat that?
Keep telling the truth.
Yeah, that's all.
Keep telling the truth.
Keep telling
the truth. And keep yelling out, you lie! like that senator did to
okay.
Obama.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Keep telling the truth and keep calling their lies.
All right.
If they're not going to provide any sort of evidence or facts to support their lies, I don't have to believe them.
No, we don't have to believe them.
I mean, this is, you know, it's sort of a fundamental of argumentation, right? We make a claim. If your idea is to engage with me or to convince me of something, you're going to need reasons and evidence.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Assuming that they're playing by the same rules.
Right.
Which
so
they're not.
Right, they're not. So that tells you then there is no need for an engagement, right, in this conversation.
Okay.
Because that
right.
conversation is a distraction from something else. And
right.
it's a way of sort of getting you sort of embedded in something when your energies and efforts need to be put elsewhere.
Right. So basically, I don't care what you say from now on. We just have to pay attention to what's really going on.
Yep.
What are you doing?
Yep.
What kind of bills are you trying to get passed?
Exactly.
Right.
Hey, you
exactly.
can tweet all of the crazy
exactly.
shit you want to.
Okay. Which
we
is,
don't have to talk about that. And all the pundits are just
right.
stuck on what he's doing.
Right. I mean, we can think of it this way. All of the people who are terrified now because, well, first they were celebrating. We're going to do away with Obamacare, right? And now they're terrified because they've just discovered that Obamacare is the ACA.
Yes.
It's
yes.
the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
How do you not
right.
know that?
Right.
Right? How do you not know that?
Because they don't care about facts.
Because they don't care about facts. Right? They do not care. And, you know, I've even stopped calling it Obamacare, right?
Yeah.
It's the Affordable Care Act or ACA. Because for me, language is really important.
Yes.
It absolutely is important.
And so it's like how you sort of, how you use language, right, becomes really important right now, the language that you use. So, you know, I keep saying, oh, they're doing away with the Affordable Care Act. You know, if I'm going to call it a kind of nickname, I'm going to call it Romneycare.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I understand. Look, I think and sometimes in the language you have to claim the thing that, you have to claim the negative as a positive.
Yeah.
And I think that was the calculation that the Obama people made. It's like, okay, they're going to keep calling it Obamacare,
yeah.
so let's call it Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And the assumption was that people are going to know that Obamacare is the ACA.
Yeah.
And they did not realize
nope.
how disconnected people were going to be.
Yes.
And that they didn't see that it was the same thing.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah. There's still people who are arguing that Obamacare was a massive failure because the website went down that first day because they didn't anticipate the number of people who would be signing up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
there's no logic.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
well,
not
just
a
think.
Failure.
Of, just think of the sign up period that just passed that
right.
was going to be that the number of people who re upped
yes.
was up. Like
yes.
20 or 30%.
People are
identified. Yeah. It's like, I know I can get it for another year. Let me go sign up.
Right.
So the thing is to keep telling the truth.
There are a couple of people who said to me, you know, you got to stop calling it Agent Orange. You got to be scared because if he gets the real control, that all those things you said, they're going to come after you. And, I understand it.
But
they've been
the Terror Dome.
But they've been coming at me all my life.
Yep.
So what's new about this? So what are they going to do? They going to kill me?
I was like,
okay.
He's been disrespecting groups for, well, since
yeah.
his whole career.
Right.
His whole career, yeah.
So now I can call him whatever the hell I want to. He deserves no respect.
Nope.
None. I don't care if he's president.
Nope.
I know, but you know what I said. What I said was that I'm old school and I still respect the office of the president, so I'm still going to call him Agent Orange, but at least I'm just going to say President Agent Orange.
I don't even give him a title.
Nope. Okay.
No. Out of respect for the office.
Exactly.
I won't call him
exactly.
that.
Okay.
Yeah, that dude.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that dude.
You guys gave me opinion and fact. What am I supposed to do with that?
Sonny, thank you for stopping by.
Oh, thanks for including me in the conversation. That's
well,
fun.
We need a feminine
perspective.
Sidekick?
Catwoman.
Okay, do Catwoman.
No, Eartha Kitt.